Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. My joy in my soul, God is in control. Like I've stayed in on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
Praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. Yes, you're once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, I'm so excited once again to have my brother in Christ, my friend, none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, will be sharing another inspirational poem with us on tonight. Then he's going to deliver God's word. So I'm asking all the listeners, please, once again, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as we go through God's word together on tonight. The word of God says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we don't want anyone to ever think that me or any guest that's delivering God's word over this worldwide platform, that we're making up things as we go. We want you to be able to read it for yourself according to God's word. So we always open up with prayer. And instead of me praying on tonight, I've already asked Deacon Marvin Cox if he would open up with prayer for us on tonight. So I'm Deacon Marvin Cox is on the line. He's going to open up with prayer. And following the prayer, I'm going to come back with a few announcements, and then I'm going to do a music break. And we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can share with us another inspirational poem, and then he will go directly into God's word. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, would you please open up with prayer, please?
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. May we bow our heads in humble submission. Father God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come, my Father, thanking and praising you for being so kind and so merciful unto us. My Father, we have an urgent plea that we're bringing before you this evening. My Father, we know that you can, and we know that you're able. My Father, we just ask that you fix that which is broken. My Father, if it's our spirits, my Father, we ask that you fix our spirits. My Father, if it's our attitudes toward one another, my Father, we ask that you fix that. My Father, whatever it is that we stand in the need of, my Father, we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus, my Father, that you do your will, my Father, not our will, but your will. My Father, you know what it is that we need, my Father. We may ask for something that we're not really ready to accept from you. My Father, we just ask that you search the hearts and the minds of those that have assembled on this worldwide network tonight. My Father, we ask that you touch, my Father, and heal their minds, their bodies, my Father, their finances, my Father. We ask that you mend those families that have been broken apart, my Father, through the pettiness of the world. My Father, we ask that you bless this worldwide platform so it may grow and prosper. My Father, not in the name of Brother Brown, but in the name of Jesus. My Father, may we begin to do the things that you have ordered us to do. My Father, we humbly submit, my Father, because we don't know one else to call on but you and you alone, because we know that you're a heart fixer and a mind regulator. My Father, we ask that those weary souls, my Father, that want to put their swords in the sandbanks of time, my Father, those that are ready to yield, my Father, we ask that you let them live out their life sweetly there. My Father, we thank you so much, my Father. We have so much to be thankful for. My Father, we ask these and all blessings, my Father, in the name of Jesus. In his name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. I touch and agree, and I'm sure that the listeners that are listening on tonight, we all touch and agree with that prayer that God will be glorified. On tonight, I'm asking all listeners, if you would please, if you have your pens and paper, if you would please take down these announcements before we bring Deacon Marvin Cox back on. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to go direct into God's word following the poem. But I do have some announcements that I did share with the listeners. Every night, 7 nights a week, starting at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, God has blessed Minister Tawan Eppinger. He's a young minister of the gospel. He's a minister at the Morning Star Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor, and where I serve as the musician there. Minister Tawan Eppinger has a prayer line that comes forth every night, 7 nights a week, again at 9 o'clock p.m. If you want to pray or stand in the gap for someone, or if you need prayer yourself, you can dial in into this prayer line. I'm about to give you the number right now. The number is area code 602-610-2081. Once again, that prayer line number is area code 602-610-2081. And the access code is 913-927. Once again, the access code is 913-927. He is doing a great work in the Lord, a powerful young man of the gospel. And so God has blessed him to open up his prayer line 7 days a week. The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I stand on that word as well, because it is a true fact. I forgot to give you all my scripture food for thought. I'm going to give you that right now, and then I have a few other announcements. But the scripture food for thought for tonight comes to us saying, look to the hills from which cometh all your help. Once again, the scripture food for thought for tonight comes to us saying, look to the hills from which cometh all your help. And that's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 121. Okay, now back to the announcements. I am so excited for what God is doing in one of my niece's life. My niece, Kayla Brown, God has blessed her to obtain her realtor's license with the Century One Realtors family. So if you are looking to purchase your first home or your dream home, let Kayla Brown help make it a reality for you. This is my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown. This is his oldest daughter, my niece. Again, God has blessed her to obtain her realtor's license with the Century 21 family. And her cell phone number is area code 313-992-5562. Her office number is area code 734-464-6000. 6400. And her email address is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, KaylaBrown.C@gmail.com. So once again, if you are in the Michigan area and you are looking to purchase your first home or your dream home, let Kayla Brown help make it a reality for you. Speaking of my youngest brother, Herbert Charles Brown, God has blessed him to write a book. He is a retired police officer. God has blessed him to write a book, and it is titled, Don't Skip the Process, Making Life's Challenges Work for You. He will be my special guest on next Thursday night, April the 15th. So you want to tune in and be blessed by what he's going to share with you all through what God has given him to write in his book. And his book is available now at Amazon.com. His name is Herbert Charles Brown, Herbert C. Brown. Again, his book is titled, Don't Skip the Process, Making Life's Challenges Work for You. And also my youngest sister, Donetta Burney, her children's books are up and running and available now also at Amazon.com. Her two children's books, her latest children's book is titled The Littlest Guard at the Gate, and then the other children's book is titled The Best of Joy. She has her store and website is up and running now for The Littlest Guard at the Gate. He has his book. He also has a coloring book. He has a puzzle. He has a variety of T-shirts. He even has a little pillow with his picture on it that the little children love his little pillow. They like to carry his pillow around even when they go for rides in the car, and some of them even like to sleep with his little pillow. So we are getting good reports. And even some of the children, they like to wear his T-shirt to bed, and they don't want to take the T-shirt off. So if you have a little one in your life, if you are a parent, a grandparent, uncle or aunt, or if, even if you are a teacher and you have children in your life that are ages 3 to 8 years old, you want to check out Donetta Bunny's website. And that's, again, that's the Littlest Guard at the Gate. But the website is all lowercase, www.joshtheguard.com. Once again, her website and her children's store is up and running. So if you want to purchase items for the little ones in your life, you want to be a blessing to them, go to her website. That's, again, all lowercase, www.joshtheguard.com. On the 17th, next Saturday night, Deacon Edward Blakely, the Sunday school superintendent, also of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor, he will be bringing forth God's word on next Saturday night. Minister Tawan Eppinger brings forth God's word every first Thursday night over this worldwide platform. On the 22nd of this month, my special guest is none other than Pastor Sharon Ford. She is the pastor. She has a ministry, Spiritual Care of Southfield, Michigan. She will be bringing forth God's word on Thursday, the 22nd of this month. And we all know that Pastor Norman King is always bringing forth God's word on the last Thursday of every month. He is the pastor of the Victors Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is my first cousin. He will be bringing forth God's word on the 29th of this month. That's April the 29th, Thursday, because I have a special guest on the Saturday, the 24th. I have a special guest coming on that night, so she's going to be taking his place that night. But he will be bringing forth God's word on Thursday, April the 29th. So those are the announcements that I have for now for the listeners, so you might want to jot those down so that you can be abreast and aware of what's to come. So we're going to try to, hopefully and prayerfully, that we can get this song together that it will play for us on tonight before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cosby with his poem and delivering of God's word, because we've been having a few technical issues lately. But we're going to be praying and hoping that everything goes well with the music break. But if not, we're just going to go forth and have Deacon Marvin Cox come forth. Stand by, please. That's not the right version. This is the one I want right here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Total praise. God deserves your total praise. He deserves my total praise, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the world may say, God still deserves our total praise. Before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, I want the listeners to know, especially for the new listeners, I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Once again, I can be emailed. You can email me with any comments or feedback regarding this worldwide platform and ministry. Email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And I want to give a shout out real quick to my pastor and bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, Jr., the pastor and shepherd of the Greater Shadow Faith Baptist Church, and also my church family. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. I pray and hope that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Once again, I thank the Lord for this opportunity that he has given me to bring forth the word to his people, not my people, not Brother Brown's people, but to his people. I won't tarry for you long. The poem that the Lord selected for me tonight and the message and the food for thought, all of them are coinciding and they have harmony of thought. Now, Brother Brown said that the food for thought is, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. And we know there's a very popular Psalms, Psalm number 121, that consists of six verses. But I will read this, and it reads, I look to you. In times like these, when people seem so frantic, in times like these, when there is a worldwide panic, when there's no answer to simple questions, and I don't know what to do, I'll fall on my knees, Lord, and I look to you. When hope has fled my thoughts and replaced by doubt and fear, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. The good shepherd is always near. When the storm clouds pass over and my sky turn from gray to blue, I will give thanks to your love and mercy because I depend on you. When death pays a visit to this milk and honey land, when my logic and reason abandon me, and I don't understand. With attendance in your house dwindled down to a faithful few, I will attend service in my heart because I believe in you. When our government tells me at home you better stay, I know that the answer is just a prayer away. Don't kiss your wife. Don't hug your kids. Do what we tell you to. Lord, to separate a family, I know it's not of you. A family that prays together stays together through good times and stormy weather. For you truly are my refuge, my shelter during a storm, a quiet place, a peaceful place, a tent that keeps me warm. For those who are unaware and who haven't got a clue, the safest place in the world right now, Lord, is to rest inside of you. Please get to know him. The time is getting late. Accept him as your personal savior. There's no need to hesitate. Lord, you told us about these calamities. Every word you said was true. Lord, you are the only one who can save us. That's why I look to you. Amen. As I was saying, it's coinciding with the message and the food for thought that Brother Brown gave, which is I will look to the hills. Now, our topic for tonight, I'll be reading to you from the book of King James, Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 29 to 31, and it reads, and he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I just read unto you from the book of King James, Matthew, the 14th chapter, the verses 29 through 31. May the Lord add a blessing to reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Which brings us to the topic for tonight. Now, these people that we just talked about, the ones that were looking to the hills and the ones that were looking to Jesus, they had their focus on the Lord, and the Lord would deliver you. But our thought for tonight is dangerous, deadly distractions. And see, I like believing, giving a little history on the lesson. See, Peter had walked with the Lord, and he had talked with the Lord, and he seen the Lord perform many signs and miracles and wonders, and so he knew what the Lord's capability was. So the Lord, they had done some work, and the Lord wanted to go up into the mountains and commune with his Father. So what the Lord told them, he said, you guys go ahead, and I'll catch up with you. And back during that time, they mostly traveled by boat. They traveled by horse. They traveled by camel, or either they walked. And so the Lord told them to go because the business that they had to take care of was on the other side of the water. So he went up into the mountains and he communed, and so the captain of the boat, they was weary because, see, sometimes the word of God can, it can drain you. You can have a hot church service and be enthusiastic, but then you go home and you sit down at 6 o'clock and wake up in the same spot at 12:30 because it exhilarates, but sometimes it drains you because it's not in a bad way, but in a good way. And so they were not concerned about when they would meet up with the Lord. He just told them, and we know that the Lord, when he said that he's going to catch up with you or that he would meet you on the other side, we know that his word is true. So from their weariness, they got in the boat. And so halfway across the water, they began to sleep. And and one of those good church sleeps is when you then had a good service and you go home and next thing you know, it's time to go to work or something like that. That's some of the best sleep. And so they looked out on the water and they seen something and it startled them. They were startled awoke. And you know how it is when you sleep and you wake up and something in your room, or, you know, you see something that is unidentifiable. But it was the Lord that was walking across the water in pursuit of the boat. So Peter arose, and so, as I said, that he was startled for 1 minute. And the Lord said, "It is I." And so sometimes you have to get the proper identification before you make your next move. So when Peter was secure in the knowledge that it was the Lord, he felt safe. He felt comfortable. So the Lord told him, he said, "Come." He wanted Peter to come out on the water. So it says in the verses that Peter come out of the ship. And he walked. He was walking on the water. But as the topic says tonight, one of those deadly, dangerous distractions came up. And that distraction, they said, was a boisterous wind in the background. And so this is why we must keep our focus on the Lord, because there will be a lot of noise in the background. There will be a lot of distraction in the background that will instantly take our focus off of the Lord. So when Peter heard this noise and this noise distracted him, what does the word say? It says that he immediately, in some publications, it said, and began to sink. You see, he was afraid because, see, that wind took his mind off of Jesus. I know in the Baptist church, we used to say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. So in other words, it's a focus that we have to get and that we have to maintain and sustain in order for us to do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. But when Peter heard this noise, this distraction, he immediately began to sink. So this is why it is very important for us as people and us as followers of Christ to keep our focus on Jesus. Because when we take and see that one instant that we take our mind off of Jesus, I guarantee you, whatever it is, you're going to begin to sink. If he pulled you out of this, you're going to begin to sink even deeper. So Peter, he had a good enough sense to say, Lord, save me. Lord, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Now, this right here is testing your belief system. The Lord tell you to do something, even though it might be danger in doing whatever it is that the Lord told you to do. The Lord has cleared the pathway for you in order for you to accomplish that which he just asked you to do.
Amen.
But then, he that of little faith. So in other words, you have to have that strong belief. The Lord tell you to do something, you have to execute that and execute that in a way where there is no fear, because he does not bring forth a spirit of fear. And as I was saying, as the captain of the boat, the captain of the ship, we put our life, we put our love, we put all our trust inside of that, in our trust in that individual, hoping, which is faith. As many of us travel across the land, we put our faith. And once we begin to do it frequently, we put our faith in that bus driver. We put our faith in that Uber driver. We put our faith in that airplane pilot. And we do it unceasingly. So the Lord is telling us, and I'm telling you, that whenever it is that he asks you to do anything, you're already successful at it. But he will ask and question you, oh, ye a little faith. Now, I'm going to use some biblical examples, and I'm also going to use some examples, because a lot of times I found out in studying the Bible and reading the Bible that a lot of us cannot identify with the old patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible. We say to ourselves, I couldn't be like Job. I couldn't have that type of patience. I couldn't be like Joshua. I couldn't have that type of boldness. I couldn't be like King David. Why? Because I don't think I could stand up to those giants. I am fearful of those giants. But God's word is telling us, do not allow these deadly, dangerous distractions, because I hope you all would agree with me that straying away from the word of God is a dangerous thing. Doing what it is that you want to do when he has told you to do something else is a dangerous thing. You're putting your life in jeopardy. So we have to be aware, and it's so much going on now in our everyday life. There's so much going on in Washington, so much going on in Minnesota. But see, this was the perfect time over this last year, was a perfect time for us to be undistracted. And the reason I say we should be undistracted, because a lot of us, a lot of people, had to work from home. We had time. We couldn't go out to the nightclub. We couldn't go here, or the government wouldn't let us go there. Why? Because they had, hopefully, our safety in mind. But how many of us took that extra time that we had and become undistracted and studied the Bible even more? Well, I'm not going to put you on trial now, but I'm just saying that there was a lot of people who was concentrating on the things that was going on in Washington, the things that our government was doing, the things that people in power were doing, and our focus was not of the Lord, because he told us in his word that we're supposed to go into our secret chambers and hide and stay there until his anger subsides. Now, then was the perfect time for us to get and become even more familiar with God's word. Now, I'm going to give you a few biblical examples. Now, we know that we're going to go way back to the book of Genesis and see it's easy to Google up these scriptures. We're going to go way back to Adam and Eve. They were distracted. God gave them, might well say, the key to the kingdom, the keys to paradise. He told them, hey, you can have access to anything here. You could name the animals. You could do anything it is that you want. But whatever you do, you stay away from here. But see, I want to point something out to you. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get distracted by beauty. Okay, because they say that the serpent was the most subtle creature in there. So he distracted the wife of Adam. He came, he told her, and see, he took her focus off of what it was that the Lord told her to do. And the gyrations, she had never seen nothing like that. She had never seen nobody or anything gyrate like that. So sometimes these things, they capture your attention. When we see something that we ain't seen before or something, I'll put it this way, that is appealing to our eyes, then we develop a natural curiosity about that thing right there. And so we know the story. We know the story that she ate. She was convinced that it wouldn't be such a bad thing. But see, in that one instant, that's like we're going back to the boat. We're going back to Peter for 1 second. All it takes is a split second for you to take your mind off of the Lord, and you would begin to sink. Now, I say that distraction will cause danger. It will cause trouble. It can be deadly. Now, look at the shape we're in, because our forefathers couldn't refuse what God had told, couldn't comply with the wishes of God. Okay, now we're going to move right ahead over here to Samson. No, we're going to move ahead, David and Bathsheba. Now, this was a man that had everything. And it just so happened that one day that he was up on the balcony, and he looked down, because you know the king holds the high position. He looked down and he see this woman by the name of Bathsheba, who they say that she was bathing. And all of a sudden, he was distracted from what it was that he should have been doing by lust. See, lust can distract you. Lust can get you to the point where you forget about your wife, or you can forget about your mate, and begin to pursue the passions of the lust. So he looked down, and he wanted to meet this woman. So one thing led to another, and I'm like rushing through it. So one thing led to another, and so the distraction, all the while, as I say, this beauty is distracting him from what it is that the Lord will have him to do. So he lay with the woman, and she conceived. And see, this distraction led to the death of Bathsheba's husband, because, see, he was a faithful man. He was a man that wasn't going to come off of the job, come off his post, until his task was completed. So I want to show you something. It's a sequence of things that when you get distracted, first you get distracted, and then after you get busted from being distracted, then you got to organize a cover-up. And so he said, man cannot. So it started a chain of events of danger. So he said, wow, this man ain't going to come off the battlefield. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to send him into the thick of things. I'm going to have to send him into the front line. You know how sometimes generals, they will organize and they will direct you from the rear, because they are what they're known as the strategists. But with that front line, everybody going to get killed up there. So he sent the man, Bathsheba's husband, to the front line. And he did get killed. But to cover up that deadly distraction that he got when his lust begin to overwhelm him. So I'm just saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes lust of the flesh can overwhelm mm-hmm. you. And I want you to remember that in God's word over there in Exodus, the 20th chapter between that first and that 17th verse, God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. So God is jealous, and he also tells us why. Because I'm a jealous God. we know that when one is jealous, then if you do something across them, they're gonna let you know, I disapprove of your activity. You paying this thing more attention than you paying me. But see, God is so mm-hmm. fair that he gives us the time to go out and do what we want to do, what we need to do in order to maintain ourselves. Because in 6 days shall I labor and do all thy work. But this one day, I want you to give this day to me. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, that God. In it, thou. And they're telling you, everybody that you're in charge of for that particular day, I want you to be submissive unto me. I want you to give me service. Because, see, I think that's fair. I think that's fair for us to say the labor and do all thy work, you know, to go to the movies. Because I remember not long ago, maybe it was longer than I think, but not long ago, a lot of the merchants were not open on Sunday morning. You couldn't find a liquor store open nowhere. You couldn't do
it. I'll make a plan.
Now, you know, they're selling liquors in the bar, they're staying open longer than they ever have. Why? Because of that deadly distraction. Now, we're going to come over to the moral side for 1 minute. Now, look at all the deadly things that distraction can do. Now, they tell you when the cell phone first came out, probably less than anywhere between 20 and 25 years ago, people had a lot of phones. And what they was doing, they were distracted and driving. So the fatalities on the highway, even now, fatalities on the highway went up. Why? Because people were distracted driving. Because that was a new thing that they had, a new toy that took their mind off the road. But then we're going to speed this thing up a little bit now. Do you know that it's even dangerous right now to walk down the street? Why? Because we went from distracted driving to distracted walking. You see people with their iPads and texting and doing things. I've seen so many people walk into poles, walk out in front of buses. Why? Because that thing, that iPhone, that smartphone, if it was smart enough, it would say, look at here. I ain't gonna let you do it yourself on my watch. But see, this phone ain't as smart as we think it is, because if it's smart, it's gonna do everything it can for your life. So
that's right.
Just look at it for what it is. People are, as I say, you see it all the time. It's distracted walking. Now could you imagine that? Now, walking used to be one of the safest ways of travel. Or either some driver is angry at his spouse, and he's texting angrily, and he run up on the sidewalk and take out a whole bus stop. So it's dangerous to even walk, distracted walking. Now, could you imagine that? Why? Because our focus is not on what we're doing, and distraction is the main purpose of taking your mind, your focus, off of the Lord. As I said earlier, that's one of the most dangerous things that we can possibly do in order for us to get to where we need to get. We need to focus. Now, I'm going to give you another human. Then I'm going to go back to the word in a few minutes. How many people have burnt down their whole house, called themselves cooking dinner, and then their favorite program engulfs them on TV, or they get a telephone call from somebody that they ain't heard in a long time? Next thing you know, boy, the kitchen, the house is on fire. Why? Because these dangerous, deadly distractions are overtaking us. My brothers and my sisters, it's not hard to keep your mind on Jesus. It's not hard to keep your mind focused on what it is that the Lord would have you to do. But see, we have allowed ourselves. When Peter got out of the boat, he was unsure of himself, as a lot of us are when we got instructions and we began to do things that we never done before. But see, when the Lord said, come, I want you to think about this for 1 minute. When somebody tells you to come, hey, I've given you an invitation. He gave him that invitation. And see, if he went out there on that water without that invitation, he would have sunk immediately.
That's
but
right.
When you tell somebody to come and you have made the way straight for them, you have sent and made all the provisions there possible for them to have the maximum enjoyment out of whatever it is that you have planned for them, then so the Lord questioned. He questioned Peter's faith. He said, ye a little faith. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 7:35. Say, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. With as few distractions as possible. In other words, don't let, and this is a popular scripture, don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. Don't let those distractions, don't let that contrary wife, don't let those wayward children separate you, because this distraction is to get you to take your mind, your focus, your love off of God. And as I say, that's a dangerous thing to do. Okay, now, I want to hit you with another scripture. Say, don't conform, but be ye transformed. In other words, don't you be distracted by what everybody else is doing. But you got to make this thing better. Don't let these distractions. By what? The renewing of your mind, because if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. So my brothers and my sisters, got to be careful of these distractions. We let our children distract us. You know, we're on the way to the house of prayer and they want us to stop at Mickey D's and get them a Happy Meal. On the way, listen, on the way to church, not on the way back home from church, but on the way to church. Now, could you imagine that? Now, you say, oh, wait a minute, I'll get you anything you want on the way back. But see, this distraction, because what we say, I don't want my babies to be hungry. But not long before that, what they have, they had pancakes and sausage and milk and bacon and orange juice for breakfast. Now it's only 2 or 3 hours later, and we're allowing them to distract us away from serving the Lord, away from what it is that we got to do for the Lord. Oh, yeah, that's Romans 2:12. Say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you, you may discern what is the will of God. Okay, see, that test is that distraction. See, that distraction... Mm-hmm. That distraction is going to always test you. It's going to always make sure or try to make sure whether your focus is on the Lord. But as I say, it's a dangerous, very, very dangerous thing. So, my brothers and my sisters, I'm pleading with you. I beseech thee to keep your mind on the Lord. All right, now we're going to go over to Hebrews 12:2. It says, fixing our attention on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who in the view of the joy set before him endured the dross, disregarding its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the Lord didn't let nothing distract him. And just like us, you're going to have to endure some things. But see, now, you know, we're letting hangnails keep us from going to the house of prayer. Well, I couldn't find my sock, so I can't go to the house of prayer. And we planted these things because a lot of things now are planned on Sunday. We, you know, you see more people at the car wash on Sunday sometimes than you do at church.
Make it plain.
So have to be able to not allow these things. Well, you know, I've been working hard all week, and Sunday morning is the only time I could get out there and do what it is that I need to do. So, as I said, my brothers and my sisters, these deadly distractions, they will overtake you. They will overtake you to the point that, and I didn't want to say this, but I have to, but it will put your soul in jeopardy. Now, we're going over here to 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And see, just like that noise that distracted Peter and caused him to sink. See, sometimes we cower in fear. Why? Because of loud noise. Now, moving over here to Joshua and Caleb. See, they were scouts or they were spies or however you want. But see, they went out there with a lot of people. And they came back with a report, not Joshua. But the other men came back and said, man, you should see how big those dudes is, man. I seen Hulk Hogan over there. I seen Shaquille O'Neal over there. Man, those some big dudes, man. We can't do nothing with those guys, man. I seen Charles Barkley over there. And so Joshua say, there ain't nothing but a man that could be taken down. Don't let that distract you, because see, there's some giants in our life that we feel that we can't overcome. But if you look at David, when he saw Goliath, when he started twirling that little sling, he said, don't worry about it, brothers. Yes. This little bitty young, ruddy boy, he was not distracted by all of these things that, you know, all these giant men. Because see, a giant man will, hey, I'm telling you, just his size will intimidate you. He could be nice as he can be, but, you know, but, hey, I guarantee you, you stood next to Will Chamberlain and start looking up, you know, it's going to strike some type of pain. So I'm just saying, my sisters, that we cannot allow these distractions to overtake us because they're deadly. I got halfway through the lesson, and I just thank the Lord. Maybe next month or next time I'm on, I could do part two. But, Brother Brown, we're getting late in the hour, and I thank the Lord for this opportunity, but we're talking about those dangerous distractions. See, the Lord gave us instructions. He said, come. He said, come on, you know. He said, come on out of your sin. Come on out of your lust. Come on out of your compassion. I mean, your passion. Come on out of your covetousness. Come on out of your thievery. Come on out of your adultery. And you know what? We get distracted and going deeper down into it.
That's
so
right.
I thank the Lord for this opportunity to bring forth his word. It looked like this time just sped by. I have more, but I got to be obedient to the time that is allotted to me. And Brother Brown, I now thank you, thank the listeners for this opportunity to bring forth God's word for the pleasure and the privilege of your time. And so may God bless you and may ever keep you, and I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As one of the pastor of the church where I was his armor bearer and musician for 19 years used to say, he has gone on to be with the Lord now. But he used to say sometime during his messages, there's a lot of meat on that bone. And so Deacon Marvin Cox, yes, this is one of those situations. There's a lot of meat on that bone. So, yes, you can prepare to do part two the next time you come on, which will be the first Saturday in May. So for you listeners, you want to mark your calendars. You want to get the rest of this message. You want to get the conclusion of the whole matter regarding this message on tonight, Dangerous Deadly Distractions, part two. will be coming forth on the first Saturday in May by Deacon Marvin Cox. So if you want to tune in, let your friends and family members know, they can always go to my website and they can hear this message that was brought to us on tonight. If they don't, if they want to be caught up for next time he comes forth with part two, tell them to go to this website, www.blogtalkradio.com/servants with an S on the end, servants, ambassadors with an S on the end, vessels with an S on the end. So they can, all of these shows and all of these messages are kept in archives for years. So if you did not get a chance to hear other messages from other people that have came forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word, that's what I love about this platform. It's set up where you can go back to the archives and look up the names or the dates and get the word so you can be caught up. So thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox, for delivering this word on tonight, a much-needed word because the time is this. And I love the different scriptures that you gave in references to your message on tonight. These were powerful scriptures that backed up what you said, not only what you said, but what God said through you, through the Holy Spirit. So we know that the word of God is not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that God set out for it to do. And you have truly delivered this word. I thank you for that poem, the inspirational poem that you brought forth to us on tonight. And I also want to thank you for opening up with prayer on tonight. For the listeners, they normally expect me to do the prayer, but I asked Deacon Marvin Cox to open up with prayer, and he was so gracious to be obedient and open up with prayer on tonight. So we're getting ready to close out for tonight. Well, we're going to ask, and as I always say to the listeners, continue to pray for one another. The Word of God said, the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. Well, there's much prayer, much power. So we know that God is still sitting high, looking low. And we thank God that he still has and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in his hands. And he said in his word, he promised us that once we are saved in Jesus' name, that nothing and no one can pluck us out of his hands. What a mighty, awesome promise. See, God is a promise keeper. He is not like man. He don't get amnesia. He don't tell you one thing one minute and he forgot it the next. He is a promise keeper. What a mighty God we serve. So right now, I want to say thank you to every listener that faithfully tunes in, that has been tuning in down through the years from day one all the way up to now. And you're still dialing in and getting and receiving God's word. Even for the new listeners on tonight for the first time, thank God for you. So I'm always praying for the listeners, and I'm asking the listeners to always keep me in this ministry and this worldwide platform lifted up in prayer that God will get the glory. That's what it's all about, God getting the glory. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you that you are our promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, those that are being faithful doers of your word. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you will move by your spirit. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I continue to lift up my brother-in-law, Ken Jones, and my twin sister, Jeanette Jones. They both still are dealing with the COVID virus. And also, he has started his dialysis. And you know his health situation, Lord, and you know that he suffered with Crohn's disease, and he's also on the list for a kidney transplant. So now the enemy has come and stricken him with the COVID virus. But I lift him up to you now, Lord, because you know, and well as I know, and he knows that he has not called upon the name of Jesus. He has not asked the Lord Jesus Christ, your son, to come into his heart and save him. So it's my prayer. I'm touching and agreeing with his wife, my twin sister, my family members, and all those that know him. We are still standing in the gap for him, asking that you would spare his life and give him another chance to hear your word, that he would be able to open his own mouth, confess his sins and transgressions, that he would ask Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him so that he too will come to know his God purpose, and that he will be able to draw other souls to Jesus Christ by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, letting the world know that it is you who have healed him, that you will get the glory through his life. And not only him, but anyone that's spiritually blind all over the land. You know who they are, you know where they are. So we ask that you will send your word their way through your vessels, that they will be able to hear your word. They will have another opportunity and chance to ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved all over the land. Let them know and remember that earth sure has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. So we now pray and ask that you are moved by your spirit. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this ministry and broadcast. Continue to bless them and also the new listeners on tonight. Bless them and their families and the works of their hands, that you will get the glory through each one of them is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow, and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, whether they are bringing forth your word over the worldwide network, over Facebook or social media, however they're delivering your word, it's our prayer that you will move by your spirit through your men and women of God that you have anointed and appointed for such a time as this, who are truly standing on your word, teaching and preaching your word on tomorrow, that your word will go forth with power, that those that hear your word that are not saved will be saved in Jesus' name, that those who have gone astray and have backslidden will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.